the Australian Presbyterian Bible Church. In accord with the thrust of the Presbyterian Church of Australia Constitution 1901, we present Christ without compromise, the Bible without qualification, May the 8th, 2016. A couple of thousand years of Jesus Christ, and they still try to snuff out the light amid their darkness. Sermon today, Esther as a type of Christ. Esther, found after Ezra and Nehemiah in the Old Testament, she is often regarded, partly because of the Jewish feast of Purim, which attempts to remember some of the amazing works wrought by Esther. She is often seen as sort of heroine of the faith. This morning, we are looking at her in a somewhat complementary light, thus fulfilling the total orb, Esther as a type of Christ, with some reference to Daniel in parallel. Esther. Vashti, the queen, had aroused the temper of her husband. Ahasuerus, the grand king of the great nation, was engaged to the heart of his potentially venomous being. Does my wife not come when I call her to my regal palace in its regal mood and mode of party and glamour? Does she say I will not come? So they proceeded to make a law that all women should learn that they must come at their bidding, lest there be a trifling with husbands throughout the kingdom. So that was the end of Vashti from the point of view of a wife, and so there was to be something else to glamorize the quarters for the women. Selection found Esther, looked after by her uncle Mordecai. Esther was found to be most charming by the majestic ruler. And selected, she occupied a place of honor. She was a person who was obviously very honored. Let's read about her, 2:15. Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing. She could have gone in with that, any sort of thing. As a tennis player, perhaps a diamond-studded tennis racket, as a potential queen, who could imagine what she could have asked to go in with. The contemporary equivalent of a Jaguar, perhaps. But no, she asked nothing. She went in, the grace to be sufficient in and of itself. She took nothing that she was advised to take to make her the event more propitious. And it says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. This is a somewhat universal sort of response to the spirit, the testimony, the appearance, the conduct, the atmosphere of this young lady. Oh, there is something far more than a choice of a queen in this. It's a choice of what is queenly. In 2:17, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head, made her queen instead of Vashti. The king made a great feast, a feast for Esther. So that was the setting in terms of Christ. There is, of course, the reference to his growing in grace and favor. Luke 2:40, 2:52. Luke, the Gospel of 2. 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. It's good to look at these two verses. This is concerning Christ. This is concerning the exterior manifestation of who he really was, namely the Word and only begotten Son of God. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. And then in 2:52 of Luke, and Jesus increased in wisdom, growing up, of course, it's natural that the imprint comes through the chosen mode. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God, note the next two words, and men. And note what we've just said of Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Now there is part of her being a type of Christ. Something with certain suggested significances which reflect something of the wonders, the superior wonders, of course, of Christ, so that it begins to become a type of Christ. General favor before all. Notice also the fervent obedience to Mordecai. She did whatever her uncle told her. She was young, inexperienced, dealing in high quarters. Her uncle was a man of some wisdom, some standing, and considerable knowledgeability. Furthermore, he would walk up and down the premises, checking on anything that was happening to the young lady whom he had taken as a daughter, keeping his eyes open, watching, hearing, listening, seeing anything that was happening in case he could lend a supervisory hand. Well, she was listening in case she could give an advisable response to his wise counsels. Jesus, as it said of him in John 8:28-29, these words. This is the work of God, that you may believe in whom he has sent. This is their place. Christ comes, and if you believe his words and him who sent him, you have eternal life. And then in John 12, you have these words. John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. The commandment was practical. It was verbal. How much more must Christians be practical and follow the words of the same Christ who did not speak his own words? So easy for people to displace God in practice, to come far from heaven, as soon as they begin to become co-authors of their salvation and of the Word of God according to their cultural preference, as if God was subject to culture. Who made man, who made culture. And so we have that second element of Esther as a type of Christ. Then again, there was the selective favor of the king. Grace and favor. He gave her favor above all the rest. Just as Christ is favored above all the rest, so that, as Paul says, in all things he should have the preeminence. All in all, the firstborn, the creator of all things, as Colossians tells us. And therefore, it's a third element as a type of Christ. The priority, the preeminence, and the position. Then we come having moved from the prelude, as we've just been hearing, to the performance element. Very interesting thing found in Matthew 17 and verse 21, when we come to the type of Christ, is this. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. In other words, the disciples had failed. Why couldn't we cast it out, casting out a particular evil spirit? And the longer I live, the more I see of evil spirits. The actual spirit of evil. You can feel it as if you can feel the mountainness of a mountain, the grandeur and the grace of a mountain, so you can come more and more to feel the presence of an evil spirit. It's canny, calculating, revoltingly disgraced and debased character, animating what proceeds. This kind, says Christ, casting out the devil, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And when the time came, let me tell you about the time that came so you may see this parallel. It was like this with Esther. A very powerful nobleman, aristocrat, persuaded the king to sign a document to delete the Jews. Haman had been annoyed, that was his name. Of course, Mordecai, who'd taken Esther as a daughter, didn't bow before him, and no doubt Mordecai might have sensed a certain religious element in bowing before this person, and couldn't and wouldn't to bring himself to do it, come what would. If only people were culturally sensitive now to say, come what will. I will not make man the co-author of gender. I will not. Let man make man, then I will consider what he can do. Until he can, let him revere what God has made and not go around as a pretender, imagining that he can demand some sort of worship for the ideas he has as a mere creation. He cannot create what he is. It is necessary to be sensitive to these blasphemous pseudo-punditries. But that's the way it was. All the Jews, because Mordecai was a Jew, and Haman didn't like people not bowing to him, he was, shall we say, somewhat exalted. Like that North Korean fellow who seems to imagine, or at least to say he imagines, or to say he is, the Lord. I mean, did he invent mankind? Did he create the universe? What's the use of using silly words? It's all known that he was born. But you get this sort of thing. Man always wanting to be more, if possible, to be God. But he shall die, as God says. He shall die like men. What's in it, really? It's just futile. And so, we come to this fasting. Mordecai heard of this. Remember, he had his eyes open. He was near. He was walking to and fro. He didn't abandon watching his children. Let's hope that many parents in Australia do not abandon watching their children and have states say, those children are mine. I'll tell them whatever I like about whatever I like, how I like, when I like. Wonderful, Victoria. What more could the devil do with such language? With such presumption. Are millstones to be manufactured to cater for this? But Mordecai, he watched over Esther very carefully, and when he heard that all the Jewish race were to be extinguished, just like burning the children in the fire, by experimenting with the little ones, how nice. He put on sackcloth. He didn't say, well, I suppose it must be, you know. He lamented. He came as near as he could to the king. He was seen at the gate. Esther heard of it. Remember how obedient and watchful she was too? Isn't that nice? Parents and children, teams, working together with love and felicity. A team! One having this and the other having that. both having the glory of the Lord in their eyes, as they see what's been built up for them, exercise themselves, not in dreariness and weariness, in distemper, with social experts interfering, when the only evil that's done is bringing up. What's wrong? Said Esther. She was told that the Jews were to be exterminated as a race. Haman wanted to do things on a grand scale to make up for Mordecai's lack of submissiveness. She had sent clothes and everything to encourage him if he was just troubled with something, but he wouldn't accept them. Furthermore, he sent back a message to her. Do not think that you will escape if you remain absolutely silent. Let's hope that the Christians will not remain absolutely silent while changes in our constitution of this character and that. We don't know what they're to be yet, of course, but be watchful. And changes in the nature of children by experimenters. Proceed. Do not think that you will escape if you remain absolutely silent in this matter. Who knows if you've come to the kingdom for this reason? Esther was to escape, as we shall shortly hear, but Christ was not. For this purpose have I come, said Christ, when refusing all possibility of escape or something else. Father, if it be possible, deliver me from... Nevertheless, not my will, thine. Christ came for this purpose. He came to die, to cover sin, to cover outrage, to make peace, to present to his spirit the power to overcome the sovereignty of sin, and to be human beings, not inhumane substitutes. But with Esther it was different. If anyone came near to the king without being called, death, unless he moved his scepter out so that the party could touch it. Esther said, well, let them all fast for 3 days. No drink, no food. And we will fast. She took it seriously. Spiritual things must be taken seriously to the uttermost. What if Christ had come down from the cross and said, well, I'm not going to allow you to say, come down from the cross, and then from the cross, and then we'll believe you. Oh, no. He stayed in place, fixed on the purpose. For this purpose I have come. Esther went. The tremulous moment. The scepter is reached out. The king is moved. Whatever she wants is to come. And it came through a somewhat indirect message. Esther asked, well, could we have a meeting in which Haman is present? And then the next day, what do you want after the meeting or during the meeting? Another meeting with Haman present. Haman had a great gallows built, hugely high, all ready for Mordecai. So at the end, the next minute, and what do you want, says the king. Esther has gone through all the preliminaries very carefully. I want that my people shall live, she said. That's what I want. If we're only going to be turned into slaves, I would have held my peace. But we're to be killed. That was a telling point. She would have suffered much, but not death for her entire race. That had a godly dimension. God had guaranteed it after all, as he still does. It being an unqualified statement in Genesis 17, 7 and 8, for example. So the king was appalled. Who has dared to so act against the race of which Esther was a member? He hadn't known. Mordecai had kept it from him. This wicked Haman, said Esther. I trace a somewhat interesting parallel with Christ in terms of the type of Christ. Christ performed a lot of miracles. Grace was shown. Crowds were attracted. People come from all over the world. Trump has nothing in it. Compared with this, an international phenomenon, thousands coming for healing with a specialized power to cover the medically incurable. It was a phenomenon of the first order, obviously involving the power of God. Then he came seated on an ass's colt according to the prophecy of Zechariah. And even the children were crying out, praises he who comes in the name of the Lord. He was recognized before he was crucified. And that happened before he was crucified. This crucifixion was another of the modes of grace and place. These were three prongs of preparation after the resurrection, which was the answer of power, which when the time comes and the tests are over will be seen in judgment. When the resurrection came, then the Holy Spirit was sent, as Christ indicated in John 16 would be the case. It's expedient for you that I should go, otherwise the Spirit shall not come, and he will convict the world. And what was one of the convictions which came? When Peter and John were told not to carry on about Christ, judge for yourself whether it is wiser in the sight of God to obey you, O God. You crucified the Prince of Life. There came the parallel, or rather Esther's case is the parallel, when she said, and who has done this? This wicked Haman. In whose name have you been acting? In the name of this Jesus whom you crucified. Let's look at it. They'd healed somebody in the power of God. It went on. We'll see that that's what Esther did too. If we this day, they said, after being arrested following their healing of a man, for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 4:10, of Nazareth, whom you crucified, this wicked Haman, parallel, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you. Oh, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders. There is another parallel, the type of Christ. In performance, we had this amazingly, this fascinatingly indirect action. We had her fearless direct action, just as Christ was direct. And you shall see him coming in the clouds of glory, he says to the disbelieving people. After the difficulties of a technical character had been met, that is to say, after the king's command that the Jews should be annihilated to come before it was exposed, there was only one way out, because in those days, if the king made the ruling, even the king couldn't remove it. And so he made another ruling. The Jews could fight back. They did, and once, of course, it was seen that the majesty was back of it, they fought back very effectively. One slaughtered their enemies, didn't take the treasures, just slaughtered those who were murderers in waiting, and got on with the business. The king says, is there anything else you want? He said, yes, carry on dealing with the people here in the palace environments and so forth. So there's another huge slaughter. What do we find here? God has made it clear that those who are willing to curse descendants of Abraham will have something to answer for more than sorry. Germany had to take it, didn't it, really? Don't you think, when we, at the end of World War II, don't you think, really, it had to take it, don't you think? Think about it, will you? And America's had to take it, as she's been pushing and shoving to the Secretary of State Clinton at one stage. Pushing and shoving. Don't build. What is this directress of another nation? What is this USA with appalling clout and impudence? Telling a people God had given the land to what they could do and what they couldn't. And then, we'll look after you, says Obama. And then what? And then he becomes treaty-wise engaged with Iran, which has been asserting the Jews will be a new genocide. What company for a friend to keep who will look after Israel and tells her not to deal with Iran for herself? It must be realized there are consequences when you ignore the word of God, let alone, is it possible to call this anything other than, in the case of, a betrayal? And so there was this continuance, and God is in continuance keeping that extraordinarily small nation, people trying to grab more. Last time they used it as a site for more rocket attacks. Brilliant to ask for more, isn't it? I mean, justice, don't you think, and wisdom and prudence? After all, that should be able to kill them off completely. So we have these various things of the type of Christ, and this brings us to another aspect of the type of Christ. For a long time, God has forbidden anything of the nature of violence. That is to say, fighting, military fighting on the part of Christians. Put up your sword to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight, but now it is not from thence. Christians don't do that. They suffer. They teach. They preach a couple of thousand years, but don't forget, the Spirit is the Spirit to convict of sin, says John in 16, righteousness and judgment. There are two things to be rectified. Christians do not try to lay down by force the rule of this world. We leave that to those who like to drink from its pig dishes, its arrogance, its effrontery, its godlessness, its self-made vanities. But in the end, in Revelation 19, it is evident that the people make war on God and lose. In Micah 7, you see its depths as people crawl into their holes in humiliated ignominy. You see it in Deuteronomy, you see it in Isaiah 66. You see it in 2 Thessalonians 1. Judgment! And when all is done, the great white throne. Eternal judgment. Christ has brought eternal redemption, Hebrews 9. And there is everlasting destruction in judgment. For if in the mercy of God, this far more wonderful creation than any submarines could ever be, namely the submarine makers and any other makers, in fact all of mankind, in the end, this wonderful thing that you've been given, I mean, think back to, if you're a normal person, physically, to your youth. What colossal powers were available to you physically, and then later mentally and spiritually. Ask, and you shall receive. Lack wisdom, ask, but don't doubt, or you won't get it. That's a promise. What restraint the Christians have shown. What love, what tenderness, even in the days of Rome, way back. Not worrying about a plague and its dangers, but ministering to the sick. What things they have shown. What bearing of sacrifice like those with the Orca Indians. What sacrifices in modes, and I suppose in millions. After all, many are being slaughtered in the Middle East now, just slaughtered. Or Egypt, because they are Christians, you know? Christians. Slaughtered, you know? Think about it. Interesting, isn't it? What would happen if all the world were to be like that? Well, it will be. But not till after judgment is very apparent. And, of course, with Esther there was judgment. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people throughout the kingdom who had been planning to destroy the Jews were physically destroyed. That is another part of Esther as the type of Christ. So we see a number of things. We see that Esther consistently kept her mission in view. She didn't say, well, I've got the king to give another rule whereby the Jews can fight back and so many thousand people are dead. I guess I've done my stuff. I don't have to push my luck. Luck? Lord, not luck. Lord, luck is muck. The Lord is the one with the power. Just as your body is not some piece of muck on a pond, stinking and rotting. She consistently kept to her mission. Therefore, when the king said, is there anything more? Yes, there is. So in your life, if you were to look up Romans 6:9-10 and 8:9-10, you will see that the power of God works even more. Extending judgment on sin to deliverance of the Christians from within. So we look at Romans 6. We'll start with 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. And the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So have that sovereignty. Deal that further slaughter of sin. And look also at, interestingly enough, 8, the same verses. Chapter 8 of Romans. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you want to have a Christian exterior, and a carnal interior, it won't work. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you are occupied territory. If you are a Christian. Let me read it again. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So there's a further argument. See, the further, is there anything more? Yes, there is. Not only pardon for sin, but power to prevail against it. There is. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There is a reality within you. God himself, by his Holy Spirit, dwells in the Christian. It is not a memory only. The memory is great. The reality is yet greater. Although it was the former that she purchased the opportunity for the latter. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. You are dealing with the living God, not with the form of worship only. But the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You are, in one sense, an independent entity, an independent spiritual entity. Of course, you should coalesce with other Christians, but as far as the world is concerned, you're independent. You are an independent. You vote independently of any culture. According as you're able, you work for Christ, not for the world. Just as Christ died for sinners, not for the world. The world will come to its judgment. I pray not for the world. Clear enough, isn't it? Said Christ. And there's a final point that I would wish to make. Or at least semi-final. Consider how Esther continued with Mordecai. So Christ continued with his father. I do always the things which please him, he said. When questioned about eating, my meat is to do the will of God and to finish his work. So that's the cooperation continued between the Father and the Son. And then there's a consecutive continuation when she not only delivered the people once, but delivered it more ramifying results, another aspect of the type of Christ. Continually she was fearless of the consequences, as Christ was. After all, if you're going to be resurrected, you needn't be too worried about the present body. She was even a type of Christ in that he had a last supper to remind her, and she has a Purim to remind the Jews of those events, which incorporated extermination of the Jews, you know, as with the case of Iran and various other Islamic or other people who may have taken that into their particular heads in various sects and segments to get rid of the Jews, which are regarded as the catastrophe in the Middle East, that they're there according to the will and work of God who made the Middle East. So there is also in this Purim and the Lord's Supper, the one recognizing his death, the other representing the deliverance. But the death was the prelude to the resurrection, and the resurrection is a prelude to us who believe in him. Amen. Our Father, we praise thee for Jesus Christ. We praise thee for these attestations through those who are sometimes called types of Christ, in the sense that they remind us of him in different aspects, though they are far inferior to him. And so, Father, we praise thee for all thy provisions and power, and that the living God lives inside Christians. Not only knows what they're doing, he knows them. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I know them, and they know his voice. Father, for all thy grandeurs of grace, we thank thee in Jesus' name.